Hello, my name is Sam Walsh, and right now I am sitting down with two members of Self Evident. They just finished performing in, live in our studio here at Radio K. Tom and Ben, thank you guys so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Great. How are you? Good. Hopefully it wasn't too cold or snowy right today. Make it down here. Where are each of you from, and what is it known for?
I'm from Bloomington here, actually, not too far away.
Very nice.
About 15 minutes, so. Yeah, I grew up there and then lived kind of in town my whole life.
What's it known for? What's Bloomington known for?
Yeah, well, to you, what's it known for?
I guess it'd be the Mall of America, but before that it was, you know, the Met Center and...
I suppose, yeah.
I don't really know other than that. Strip malls?
Big high schools, too, right? Like Kennedy and Jefferson?
Yeah, there are two of them. Before that, there was just one big one.
I'm from Sheboygan, Wisconsin, originally.
Sheboygan.
Home of the bratwurst.
And, oh.
Well, the Sheboygan-style bratwurst.
And what is the Sheboygan-style bratwurst?
You have to prepare it with beer, butter, and onions, and then you serve it on a Sheboygan hard roll.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the style.
That's, I'm getting fatter just listening to you describe it, yeah.
I was a vegetarian for, like, 3 years, and then the bratwurst is what brought me back. I was just like,
yeah, wow.
My friend offered me one at a party. I'm like, yeah, I'm probably just going to eat meat again.
That's so that's interesting.
Cased meats.
Yeah.
They don't call it grilling. They call it frying.
Yeah, it doesn't make any
interesting.
Sense at all. Yeah.
That's funny. That's
you go to Home Depot and, like, instead of grills, they have fryers. Like, that's what the sign says, and it's clearly a grill. It's a Weber grill.
That's so interesting.
But, yeah. Wow. Sheboygan people are weird.
Wow. I suppose. Yeah. What was the first show that each of you saw? And I'd like to know both the band and the venue, if you can remember.
My first show ever was seeing Paul McCartney, actually, at the Metrodome.
Oh my gosh!
And I was like 10 years old.
That would have been a dream come true for anybody. Yeah.
We're on the floor, actually.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
Yeah.
Who took you to that?
It was my friend Adam and his mom.
Okay.
And one of the things that stands out the most is on our way back to the car, we saw two people going at it behind a dumpster, and that's going to be burned in my memory.
Wow, rock and roll, I guess. Wow. Wow. Ben, how about you?
I saw Bush, Hum, and the Toadies at the Eagles Ballroom when I was like, I don't even know, maybe 14 or something like that.
That would have been great.
Yeah, it was a really good show.
Yeah.
Like, Toadies, like, well, Hum and the Toadies, Bush and whatever, but, you know, like, both those bands, like, Hum, too. Like, we actually had the opportunity to kind of play with Hum. We played, like, a festival that they were playing in Chicago, I don't even know.
3-4 years ago.
Yeah,
that would have been a trip to have that been your first show, and then all this time later get to be on the same bill as them. How was that?
It was really cool, but the biggest trip actually is the first band I ever saw when I moved to Minneapolis was Self Evident.
Kidding.
Yeah, like, because I'm the newest member, even though I've been in the band for like 11 years now.
So your guys' discography runs pretty long, right? Can you tell me a little bit about how the band started?
It was Connor and I, and then our original drummer, Brian. We actually went to high school together. Conrad graduated a year ahead of us in 96, and Brian and I were already really good friends. So after we graduated, the three of us got together actually with a couple other guys just to try to woodshed some stuff. And for whatever reason, it sort of, the three of us glommed onto each other, and the two guys got sort of removed, the other two. And then so we ended up as a three-piece, and we started writing songs right away. We have demos that go back to 97.
Wow. First official record was 2000, right?
First full length, yeah. We did an EP.
Sure.
Before cassettes were cool.
Sure, so, yeah.
Back in 97, 98.
I love that.
So, I don't know if I don't even have a copy of it anymore. If anybody has a copy of Arrogance of the Common Professional,
I think Conrad's tracking him down and destroying all of them. So, yeah.
The dumpster fire behind the show. Uh-huh. It's a seance.
If anybody has a copy, I would honestly buy a copy back because I don't even know what it sounds like at this point.
That's wonderful. That's a great little piece of the lore, isn't that? Yeah, I love that. Have you?
I don't think I've never heard it.
Interesting. So it's just lots of time. It didn't get backed up or anything? Like. No,
I mean it's just on a cassette.
So was it just four tracked then? It was just tracked directly to the
cassette tape.
Wow,
black and white art.
I love that. Yeah. So if you're listening, now and you've got one, call in. I don't even know how. Yeah, contact.
It's not worth anything except for to us.
It's got good sentimental value though. Have you guys then had a consistent lineup? Has the lineup changed throughout the years? Because you know, even on social media now with this newest release, congratulations by the way, they got the Self-Evident just put out a brand new album called Lost Inside the Machinery, but on your social media couldn't help but notice that there's three people on stage and a lot of stuff, but then today we were fortunate enough to see you guys in full swing with the 5-person band. So how has the lineup changed then throughout the years, given that there's...
So our original drummer Brian decided to move to Montana in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much the same day we called Ben and asked if he wanted to join. And I think that was sort of at the end of Clair de Lune.
Okay.
The end of Clair de Lune days, which would be about 2000.
Yeah, I was in a band called Clair de Lune prior to. And I know there's like another Clair de Lune in town, but it's a much different thing than that.
Sure.
But from 2001 to 2005, I was in that band. And then, yeah, they gave me a call and I said yeah immediately because I always wanted to be in that band.
That's awesome.
So
pretty much the same night we had Ben lined up, and then he's been in the band ever since. So now you're going on what, like 13-14 years?
Well, it's oh, maybe you're right. 2006, yeah, that I joined late 2006.
So you're going 13
years. Wow, Jesus.
And he's the new guy.
Yeah. He'll never live that down, I swear. Right. Yeah,
but with Rocky and Adam, they're not official members. So with Lost Inside the Machinery, during the recording process, we did a lot of overdubs to really fill out the sound. So during our release show, we really wanted to represent that. And then they had been rehearsed and we, you know, had this lined up. It's like, you guys want to do that as well, you know, just really to fill that sound out for these specific tracks.
Sure.
You know, yeah. Even though they didn't perform on the record.
Okay, well, that's awesome. It sounded great in the studio. You guys sounded great as a 5-piece. You would never have been able to tell that you usually performed as a 3-piece. So,
yeah, those guys have put a lot of work into this. It's not, I don't know if you call it math rock, what you want to call it, but it's, you know, it's obtuse music. It's not straight ahead 4-4 all the time.
Yeah.
So, those guys have been doing a really good job, and it's been really fun having them.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big thing in the studio is like we brought in a string section. Amy and Leif from Not From Here, they did strings on like 3 songs. And then I wrote a bunch of keyboard and pad parts on most of the stuff. So we really wanted to be able to reproduce that.
Yeah, have it translate.
Back in the day, we were so worried about being like Fugazi where everything was raw and just there's no overdubs. And as we've recorded more records, we've sort of realized that the fun and like, you know, wall of sound kind of stuff and adding in the stuff is not cheating like we used to.
Interesting. Yeah, so one of my questions was going to be, what in your guys' opinion has changed between each album, right? Because you put out Lost in the Machinery in 2019, but before that The Traveler came out in 2015, so even in between those two albums, not even considering the whole period that the band's been active, there's still 3-4 years between there, right? So there's a lot of room to grow or change, right? So you're talking about how your opinion has changed on overdubbing, right? Is there other things that with this new album are different in your opinion than the previous works?
It's more produced, you know, than anything, and that's kind of the progression. That's our evolution since I joined the band, I think. So like the first record I was on was the self-titled, which was like it was self-titled because it was like a reinventing of the band, you
sure.
know, just because I played a lot differently, I think, than what Brian was doing. But, and then progressively we put out that one, then Endings, and then Fortress.
We built the fort. I love that name. Mm-hmm. We built the fortress on short notice. Mm-hmm. I love
that. And then The Traveler is kind of its own thing. The Traveler is like, it's some throwback tunes, some stuff that we hadn't previously released, mm-hmm. A couple new tunes, and then a couple covers as well, which is something we've never done.
Interesting.
But they're relatively obscure covers. No offense to Bearclaw and Train Dodge, but like we covered our friends' bands instead of like covering. You know, like
it smells like Teen Spirit or something. Yeah, gotcha. Right. Cool. So cool.
But yeah, it's just more production. You know, just spending more time in the studio, spending more time. You know, considering what the possibilities are to mm-hmm. really fill out the sound.
Are you happy with the results?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think this is our best record.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely like when you're talking evolution or direction. I think this one is definitely more. Brooding or more like, I don't want to say slow because that's not really the proper adjective.
Expansive?
Paced?
Yeah, paced.
Paced really well. That's something that I kind of took from it, yeah.
We used to be so urgent on everything that it was, there's never any room to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Not saying there wasn't any room to breathe, but I think with this it's more of like, we want people to really take it in as a, you know, a whole thing and then have... maybe it's less anxious or something. You know, I don't
our
know.
Tempos are more under control for sure. You know,
yeah.
We always had a tendency to like, you know, play things, I think, too fast. You know, this record is really, it's reflective. It's like, everything's slowed down and the spaces are more open, even though there's more going on. There's just bigger pockets. Inside of what we're doing, I think.
I like that. Yeah. I think that's a great way to say, mm-hmm. to summarize what you're trying to say. Yeah, I like that a lot. Is there, or what is one thing that each of you are looking forward to in the band's future?
Right now, for me, it's writing music.
Oh, yeah, I write back to the grind.
I'd love to get right back into it. We have an opportunity also to travel here, and then hopefully, you know, there's talk of us going back to Japan, which... It'd be amazing.
I saw that.
So well, yeah. one of our labels is uh-huh. is over there in Nagoya. They're called Stiff Slack, and they put out a lot of like experimental rock stuff and math rock stuff, and a lot of Midwestern bands from the U.S. You know, like obscure Midwestern bands from the U.S. I mean, and that's kind of how we got put on their
radar.
That's
so interesting. I was going to ask about that. How did that even come to be?
Through another band, Train Dodge, actually, one of the bands that we covered on The Traveler, good friends of ours that we've toured with a bunch, put out a record. Which one? Lake of Dead Trees? Or what was, which one? No, Under Black Sails, right? Was on Stiff Slack?
Yeah, it was its own thing, I think. I can't remember exactly which one was their first.
And I don't know if they gave Takuya a record of ours or what, but he contacted us and, you know, we had some new material ready to go, and so we did an exclusive with him, and then since then every full length we've put out we give them the full length plus 3 tracks, so now there's 9 tracks out in the ether that you can't get anywhere unless you order them from Stiff Slack in Japan, unless you import the record.
It's a little Easter egg, isn't that?
There it is. Oh, yeah. And eventually maybe we'll, you know, compile those and put a record out, like, you know, whatever, the Japan tracks or whatever, but they're songs that a lot of people haven't heard, you know, because that's the only way you can get them, and that's expensive, you know.
Sure.
Ordering a record, having it shipped from Japan.
It's
so
very interesting. Well, it's very good to hear that you guys are still progressing, that, you know, you're still creating music and still creatively expressing yourself in
we're not going anywhere.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's good to hear. All right, well, you just heard from Self Evident live in our studio here at Radio K. You can check them out online. They have a new album called Lost Inside the Machinery. It just came out January 18th. Right now, we're going to get back to our music right here on Radio K, Real College Radio.